Welcome to the SD Podcast. My name is David Severa. I am the SD blog writer, and I have the pleasure of being joined today by Celine Van Teel. Celine is a world-renowned athlete, a motivational speaker, and an author. Welcome, Celine.
Thank you, David. Hello, everyone. I'm very happy to be with you today.
Celine, you have a fantastic story to share with us. So let's just jump right in. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your life story?
Sure. But first of all, I would like to say that English is my fourth language. So I might do a couple of mistakes when I speak. So I hope it's fine for you. And to speak about myself, well, I hate speaking about myself, by the way. Anyway, I am Celine. I'm 32 years old and I live in Geneva. So I was born here in Geneva. I grew up here. I went to school till I was 17 years old, and I was competing in the Swiss juniors team of dressage, horse riding. I was very successful. I had good results. And by the way, I had good marks at school too. And my biggest difficulty was the jealousy of other girls, because in the end of the day, boys looked at me too. Anyway, it's a little joke. So everything went well. And suddenly, an accident happened in June 2008 that almost cost my life, and I almost died. Actually, when I had a training camp in Germany, I was training for the European Championships of dressage in the juniors category at that time. And it was, you know, my biggest goal. So I didn't went there earlier before, and I was training. Then in the first lesson, my horse suddenly jumped in the air. We don't know what happened and for which reasons he did that. He jumped in the air and he didn't fall on his four legs like every animal, but he just let himself fall. And as I was a good horse rider, I kept on the saddle, my feet in my stirrups, and my horse let himself fall, and I fell with him. He fell on my left leg. Then I laid on the ground. I was unconscious, and my trainer knew it was serious. So she directly called emergency. They came. I didn't wake up. And I flew to the hospital with the helicopter. Oh yeah, by the way, I always wanted to do a ride with a helicopter, but this time I couldn't see anything.
You weren't even conscious for that.
Yeah. So I hope I'll get the chance again. Anyway, when I was in the hospital, everything was wrong. So I got important brain damage, and I needed surgery to stop bleeding. Then they opened my head. They took the left side of my of the bone of my brain, and they put it in the freezer during about 1 month. And during that time, I was in coma. And you know, that's the most difficult situation for everyone, for my family, because they didn't know if I would wake up after 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 years, or never. So it was very complicated. But then finally I woke up, but it took a bit of time to be perfectly conscious again. Actually, it took 2 months. And afterwards, a long rehab started. So I was partially tetraplegic. I was partially blind, and I still am, by the way. Even if you can't see it, and you can't see it when I'm walking on the street, because I'm not walking with a white stick. But at that moment, I could do nothing. So I had to learn every single step and every single movement which we do in our lives without being conscious of it. So like eating, cooking, taking a shower, going to the toilet, all that seems very natural, but in reality it's not. When you lose it, you see that it's not that normal as it seems. So a long rehab started, and a lot of therapies, physiotherapy, ergotherapy, logopedy, and step by step, I came back to life. There were very hard times too, so many ups and many positive times, but also many, many downs and deeps in which I didn't know how to continue. But fortunately, I had a very good support. I'm so happy I could have and get all that support from my family, my friends, all the people around me. At some point, I was forced to see every single improvement. Even it was a very small improvement, it helped me to motivate myself and to go even further.
Your story is fantastic because we understand that every little accomplishment is an important victory. Some things that we take for granted have to be relearned. Yes, just, you know, taking a step outside is something we often take for granted, but that you had to, you know, reteach yourself. You mentioned right away that you were already an accomplished and an inspiring athlete in dressage, in horseback riding. How did that go? You wake up, you're starting your physical therapy. Did you have any aspiration to go back, you know, riding a horse, or did you give that up completely?
As a child, I had a dream, and that was to go to the Olympic Games. And I never forgot that dream, actually. And just before my accident, I heard about the Paralympic Games. So I knew it exists, but I didn't know much more about it. But that became my new goal in life, and that helped me a lot, and even to overcome hard times. After my accident, the horse became my best doctor and my best therapist, because he helped me to bring my hips in movement, for example. And every time I was on his back, it was a very good and useful exercise to train coordination and balance, because today my biggest difficulties are coordination and balance, as I recovered a lot from my partial tetraplegy. So I am able to move again my both legs, my both arms, but I have some spasticity too, and that are some little movements that I can't control, and they come, I don't know when they come, they can come all the time, and I have to know how to manage them, to go on with them. And furthermore, I'm half blind, so I can't see on my left side, so I lost half of my field of vision. And on the right side, fortunately, I have a good acuity, But I have double vision, so my horse helped me a lot for rehabilitation. And the first time I rode again after my accident, that was 4 months later, I got back to the stables and I just sat on the back of my horse again, like every weekend, a short moment with my mother, because she took the risk to put me on the back of my horse again, because she knew that that would be the best thing she could ever do for me. And when I quit the hospital, the rehabilitation center, after 6 months, I kept on horse riding, and I naturally hoped to go back to competitions and to compete again. So when I could start again 2 years later, I took that opportunity, and I even immediately got very good results with valid athletes in regular competitions. So I tried to go to two international Paralympic competitions. And I got a category with a certain impairment, with a disability, and then I started competing. Those two competitions went very well, and I even could qualify for my first world championships in Kentucky in 2010, and then I ended on the fourth place, and that remains my best result so far in horse riding. But I even got better results today in paracycling, but I'll come back to that later on.
Yeah, this is a fantastic story, because you started talking to us about 2008 and about the accident, and now we are at the point, just 2 years, so much has happened. 2010, Kentucky, and you win the world championship. And clearly, it's not just overcoming the physical challenges, but there is also, as you alluded, the moral one, the psychological one, the idea of coming back to ride a horse helped you also mentally. And your mother saw that. And so I'm curious, how long did you continue horseback riding? And why did you have to give it up?
So actually, I wanted to go to London in 2012, but unfortunately, after the World Championships in Kentucky, my parents divorced, and there were many family problems, as it was really, really hard, because my father broke all links with the family and with me, and I needed him. So it was a very tough time, and then I could go back to horse riding, and it was time that I found my first sponsors as well, and I worked a lot on management, communication, and I organized everything by myself then, and I competed at the World Champs in 2014 again, and then it was a stepping stone to go to the Paralympics in Rio in 2016. That was my biggest dream, which got achieved. So I was so happy and so lucky to experience all that. So at that moment, at that Games, I wanted to be like a sponge and to learn as much as possible that I could, because I was certain at that moment that Rio 2016 wouldn't be my last Games, but I didn't know how it would go on. And I discovered running at the same time, or just after Rio. So I started running popular races, and I did a 10K race. And as a vision impaired person, I am running with a guide in popular races who helps me when I have to go left or right, and who says when it goes a bit up or down. So those are very important indications for me, so that I could run and be careful about what I do, about where I go, because my movements are not automatic. So even if I would like to walk now and to stand up and walk, it's really hard because I have to think to everything. Okay, now I stand up, my both feet are on the ground, I'm stable and balanced, I stand up. Then when I would like to walk, I have to keep one feet up and to move it forwards and then back. I have to think about all that because it's not automatic for me. But never mind. It's okay, and that's fine. I'm living with that. I know that's a condition for me to lead a good life. So when I was running, actually, all the people around me, the other athletes, saw that I was running with a guide, and they got inspired. And they told me at the end of the race that I'm motivated them just by running there. I motivated them to go and to achieve their goals and to push them even further, to push their limits. And that made a lot of sense for me. So a couple of months later, I decided to get into athletics. And if you want to do something correctly, you can do everything at the same time. So for me, it means stopping equestrian sports and getting into athletics. And when I did that change, I learned that I had to do sprints on 100 meters and 200 meters if I wanted to compete at the Paralympic Games in Tokyo. So that was a big change to go from 10K to 100 meters. But anyway, I was ready to work really hard in order to develop those capacities which would allow me to run finally after 4 years 100 meters in 15 seconds with the disability I have. So that was a very interesting move. I learned many things, and I had unfortunately to stop athletics just before the Games of Tokyo 2021. There was COVID. I trained a lot, so for me it was the opportunity even to make more progress because I had 1 year longer to train till the Paralympic Games. But actually, I pushed my limits so far that I fell again on my head and I got brain injured again. It wasn't that serious like in 2008, but there were still some consequences like headache, pressure that I felt on my head all the time, and a bit of dizziness very often. So it means that there were some risks for me to do athletics, because when you are running, you are unstable all the time. So for health reasons, I decided to quit and to stop athletics. So actually, I announced the end of my sports career. I thought I would never compete at the Paralympics again. But finally, 6 months later, I kept on running. I did one triathlon on the short distance. And then I thought, okay, why not? It's good for me to do sports again. The Swiss Federation approached me, and the national trainer of paracycling had a bike, a tricycle, and he thought that could be something great for Celine. So let's try. And they told me I had to try it. So I trained with the national coach, and he immediately said, you have good potential because you are very strong. You are explosive thanks to sprint and athletic. You still have to work on your endurance. But actually, as I run again on 10K distances, I still started to work on my endurance. So he thought, he said, Celine, so go home and think about what you would like to do. But I think that you have good chances in your category of disability with the tricycle on the international circuit. So I went back home, but I have a competitive mindset. I took some time to think properly about what I wanted to do. And in the beginning of last year, I announced finally that I was going on with sports and with a third sports career in paracycling.
From horseback riding to sprint or running to now paracycling. Sometimes life takes the sport out of you, but they can't take the mindset. That's really a fantastic story. So can you tell us what competitions are you preparing for now? What's the next step?
Now I'm getting ready for the World Championships. So I have 2 weeks left to train, but I'm really looking forward. And yes, I'm hoping for a very, very good result. And I hope to bring back that rainbow jersey.
And we will be rooting for you. Can you tell our audience when are the World Championships and where they will take place?
So the championships will take place in Glasgow on the 9th and 11th of August. And afterwards, I have the European Championships, and I'll compete on the 18th and on the 20th.
Which now leads me, as you're preparing for the World Championships, we are here today on the SD podcast because SD is one of your sponsors and we are delighted. But at the same time, I'm sure many people are going to ask, like, how did that happen? How did you learn about SD? Because it seems so far from your purview. So how did you?
Actually, I only knew that ST is based in Switzerland, in Geneva, and actually it's close to my place. So when I'm cycling, close or just before ST. So I knew the building and that ST exists, but that's it. And actually, a partner of mine had the idea to contact ST and to ask them for a sponsorship. And if you were interested in that, we took that chance and we didn't know anyone at ST, so we just tried. Then he became a positive answer, and that was honestly a big surprise for me because many companies aren't interested in sponsorship here in Switzerland, and we don't have really the sports culture of becoming partners and sponsors and pushing athletes further. When I met different people at ST, it was amazing. I directly had a very good feeling, actually, because you showed that you were very open-minded to someone who was different, who has a disability, and who tries to do the best. And I feel like you were recognizing that and turning the difficulty extremely positive things and creating even an opportunity from that. And that directly made the connection between us. So that kind of friendship is very important for me in the relationship with ST, and I'm very, very proud of that, and very proud to represent ST at the international competition and races.
Thank you. This is such a powerful answer, because I'm sure for someone like me who is not familiar with the world of sports like you are and the world of sponsorships, the first thing we think of, the first thing in the mainstream media we hear of is, okay, such and such signed up a deal for that many dollars, that many amount, that many commercials. You only talked about turning difficulties into opportunities. Is that something that is critical for you? What are the values that you look for in a sponsor?
That's a way of motivation, and which is very important for me too. For example, is respect, friendship, perfection, excellence. All that are values which we share together, and which I am very happy to share with you and to give you, thanks to this podcast too, to share with you some aspects of life. Life is too short just to let it go. So I encourage you to live every moment intensively without any regret.
Thank you. That is such a powerful message. Thank you very much. Talking about the values, let me just go a little deeper and ask, how was the process from the time you contacted ST to the time ST gave you, you know, a positive response and got the sponsorship going?
So actually, I was very happy and surprised how quick it was going with ST, because usually when we send a sponsoring folder, then we wait on an answer, and it takes always a lot of time, and often you get a negative answer at the end. But with ST, we all the time kept in touch, and I never felt actually alone. Like ST wasn't interested. ST still was there, and after a couple of months the partnership was created. But which was the most important, that was the time from the moment that I sent my sponsoring folder till the moment I got the first news, and that went very fast. Then I went to ST for a meeting to meet some people here, and actually it took some time afterwards till we signed the contract, but actually it wasn't that long. So for an athlete, it was very, very good. So I knew where I was, and I knew very quickly I could count on ST.
Excellent. That is such a happy ending. We are thrilled to be sponsoring you, to be behind you. And you have no idea how many SD staff employees are here cheering for you. Before we go, we talked about so many different things, about your history, about your perseverance. It is unusual for an athlete of your caliber to run in so many different categories. What would be the one lesson you would like to leave somebody listening to this podcast today? What is the one thing you'd wish they carry with them from this interview?
So last but not least, is that anything is possible to one side or to the other. So the action you take today will make the difference. So I encourage you to go forward.
On that note, I don't think there is anything left to say. That's a great message. Anything is possible. Let us go forward and do amazing things. Celine, where can people find you on the internet, on social media?
I have a website, selinvantil.ch. Then I am on social media, of course, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram.
Right. And we will be following them as you continue your progress. We wish you all the best, all, you know, the good luck and all our positive thoughts for the upcoming championships. We can't wait to see how you're going to perform. We know you're going to do great.
Thank you very much. It was amazing to speak with you today and to share my story. And I hope to see all of you soon again.
Thank you. Well, that was the ST podcast. If you want to learn more about Celine and her performances, we will keep you updated also on the ST social media channels. We will also keep updating you on the ST blog, blog.st.com. Thank you very much for listening.